Well, I'm glad I get to hold this NC State microphone. Red and white. It's got a little gray in there. Yeah. I hear this is some other kind of microphone, but I want to make sure I sanctify it before I leave. Something about Ohio or something. Well, I'm glad you're here this evening. Thanks for showing up. It would just be a sound check without you. And I don't know if Jeff made it tonight, but he and his flock of children took us out to Amy's last night for ice cream. Woo! That was pretty good. But we're very grateful. Had lunch today with the staff. So this is actually about my fourth sermon today. I think I preached three there at the table. So that's your warning if you come for breakfast. But the Lord's been real. Thank you for that beautiful prayer, Pastor Shane. Vulnerable prayer. I felt a lot of the things you were saying in my own heart. Thank you for confirming. And I love that chorus. My, that's like part of the soundtrack of my soul. Prepare me to be a sanctuary. I want to begin kind of where I started last night, but I'm going to go in a different direction. I believe the Lord has given me a freedom to move into a certain direction that I thought I was going to be moving from the very beginning. But tonight I do believe that the Lord wants me to share a message with you on identity. Identity. Our world struggles today with identity. All ages, I find it everywhere. And last evening I began with these words: God's seal of ownership upon us is His Spirit within us. God's seal of ownership upon us is His Spirit within us. Let's pray again if we can. Lord, Father, God, I pray tonight that You would give us clarity. Help us to see with Your eyes. Help us to hear with Your ears. Help us to know what the truth is. And let the truth set us free. I pray, Lord, for each one of us tonight. I know the enemy wants to destroy our identity. But, Father, that's not Your plan. In fact, You have an intimate identity for us as Your children. And I pray tonight that we would either rejoice in it, if we already know that, or we would reclaim it if somehow it has slipped away, that we would find our identity in You. Pentecost, Lord, helps us to understand identity. And so, Father, help us to comprehend, to grasp tonight the reality of Pentecost. Help us to know our inheritance surely includes identity with Emmanuel. And all the people said, amen. I want to say tonight that some of my words are loosely based, and I say that because I wouldn't ever be able to share words like some of the people that the Lord leads me to teach me some things. This idea first came into my mind, actually. At least I observed it first coming into my mind. When I was studying some real short writings by Henry Nouwen. And the Lord has taken those early short writings and he has enlarged that for me. I like to listen to a lot of different people. I think that we have something to learn from folk that we don't think can teach us anything. My holiness professor, Brother Charles Baldwin, said, you better read widely, like eating watermelon, just always spit out the seeds. Because the Lord taught us in that story in the Gospels called the Good Samaritan that we can learn things from people that we put outside of our circle of influence. You know, Good Samaritan was an oxymoron to a Jewish person. That was like saying jumbo shrimp, you know. No such thing ever existed as a jumbo shrimp. But when you heard Good Samaritan, those two words didn't go together. Yet Jesus took the Samaritan and made the villain the hero of the story to teach compassion. And so I believe that he will use different people, different persuasions. When we can't get it in a certain angle, he'll come at another angle. And so that's why I give that disclaimer that's not a disclaimer. that I'm open and I want the Lord to teach me things. And I just happen to be reading these short writings by a Catholic priest named Henry Nouwen. And that doesn't mean that Henry and I agree on everything, but God surely taught me something about identity listening to some of the things he had to write and say. So I hope tonight that you will open your heart real wide, because this is only really the second time I've ever shared these ideas. And I believe there must be someone or someones who desperately in the Mifflinburg zip code area who need to hear this. And if not, it'll do me good just to hear it again. This can be a little bit more like teaching than preaching. I might get excited a few times, so forgive me if that happens. But tonight I don't want to miss anything that the Lord has given me along these lines, because this message helped me so much personally. So, intimate identity as God's beloved sons and daughters. That's what I want to talk about. At the core of our faith as Jesus believers must be a keen awareness that we are the beloved sons and daughters of Father God. Now, I want you to repeat after me, okay? We are the beloved sons and daughters of Father God. Now, one of the enormous spiritual tasks that we have is to claim this reality and to live our lives based on this truth. And to be honest, we don't always do very good at that. It's not automatic. In fact, many, if not most of us, fail at that over and over. We forget that we are the beloved sons and daughters of Father God. We forget it. We tend to forget who we are, and especially whose we are. Now, I'm going to attempt to illustrate as best I can how we attempt to live our lives. Now, I can draw a line on this board, and that is my chronology, okay? The chronology of my life. I was born in 1961. I know I look much younger. Not really. Usually people guess 10 years older at least on me. I was born in 1961, and I wonder sometimes, I mean, I pray the prayer, Lord, teach me to number my days. And so, I don't know about you, but sometimes I wonder what year I should put at the end. I don't know, but I wonder. For the sake of this lesson, I'll put 2035. That means I will get the same amount of years my daddy got. I don't know that. Tomorrow could be the day God calls me home. But for the sake of this, I'm going to put 1961 to 2035. Now, I only have a certain amount of years. Mine could be a little longer. It could be a little shorter. You may say, well, I was born later, Pastor. Okay, well, you make your own line. And you might say, I have a few more years on the other end than you, I believe. Well, I pray that you do. Don't know that you do. But it's fair. It's fair to say that. Nevertheless, what's the difference, really? All of us have short earthly existences compared to forever, compared to eternity. We have short little lives that pass by very, very quickly. So the two questions for you and for me are, should be, who am I? That'd be one question. And the second question should be, whose am I? This is what matters. These two questions. Who am I? Whose am I? And because these are the questions that keep us going, we should continue to try to ask these questions, and we should find comfort in the answer. You see, throughout our chronology, we search for the right answers to these questions. This is why Rick Warren did so good with his book, The Purpose-Driven Life. Bestseller still today. People are reading it, passing it out, hand over fist. Because it addresses, especially who am I, but also whose am I. And so, there are varying answers to these questions. Now, this is where I think you'll get some help if you pay a lot of attention. One answer. I am what I do. Okay? And sadly, this answer becomes very real to us. When I do good things, have a little worldly success, I feel good about who I am because of what I do. However, when I don't do so good, when I fail to succeed according to the world's standards, I begin to feel bad about who I am. Then as we get older, we say, I can't do as much as I used to do. But we point to past trophies or accomplishments and say, well, I did good. I did good. Now, that's one way to live. The second way we live is by this idea. Number two, by what others say or think about me. A lot of people living that way. You know, let's not lie, what people say and think about us is very, very powerful. In fact, sadly, this becomes what is most important to us very often. If people speak well about us, we walk around lighthearted, happy, humming a tune. But let someone start talking in not so nice a way about us behind our backs, and we get wind of their words, and suddenly their negative view of us makes us feel very, very sad. You know, 1,000 people can say and think we're good, but let one say we're not so good and we're crestfallen. I mean, our heart's broken. When someone talks against us, doesn't think highly of us, it cuts deep into our souls. Makes it hard for us to go on even. One negative word from someone about us can ruin our whole day. Maybe our whole week. Maybe our whole short life. That's the way we can live. Then there's a third way. Well, I don't live so much by what I do. I don't live so much by what others say or think about me. Well, number three may be maybe where you feel more familiarity. I am what I have. I am what I have. Now, I'm an island boy. Come from a godly family, pastored one church for 24 years, been a DS now for one, have a lovely wife, a dear grown children, the master of a tree and Walker Coonhound. But if I start to lose what I have, my loved ones pass away, or I lose my health, or my worldly belongings start to disappear, I began to slip into a dark place in my thinking. Friends, I believe it's fair for me to say that too much of our focus goes into these three futile answers for our short existences on planet Earth. I am what I do. No. Okay? No, you are not. You are not what you do. Well, I am what others say or think about me. No, no. No, no, you are not what others say or think about you. Well, I must be what I have. No, no, no. No, 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 you are not what you have. Because if you live with these three focuses, your life becomes chaotic, erratic, and without meaning. If we live either of those three places, our lives become chaotic, erratic, and without meaning. In other words, our chronology starts to do this up and down thing. If we live, and it's an up and down emotional storm, really. It can be psychological. It can be a lot of things, but it's chaotic, it's erratic, and without meaning. I mean, if I do everything right and people say or think good things about me and I have a lot of stuff, we live up here. But if I don't do so good and I hear people saying things not so nice about me and I don't have that much, I live down here. So it's chaotic. It's erratic. It's without meaning. And you know what sets in then? Sadness. Sadness. When I don't accomplish good things, when others don't like me, when I lose resources, sadness sets in. And in this dangerous cycle of existence, before we realize it, the value of our lives is on a nonstop roller coaster leading to ruin. It's going to ruin our lives. We expend all of our energy in an attempt to stay above the line. I got to do better. I got to impress people. I've got to gather earthly rewards. We spend our lives trying to live above the line. And you know what we call that? Surviving. That's the word we use. I'm surviving. It means that we're holding on to our good works. We're holding on to approval from others. We're holding on to our stuff. And if we can do that, we survive. But deep down inside of our beings, in our souls, we know our time clock is ticking. And we know the scripture says it is appointed to all of us to die. So if we live this kind of an up and down emotional life, and we know when we die, our good works will end. No one will talk much about us anymore. And we lose everything resource-wise. It's all gone. That's why it's true. You never saw a hearse pulling a U-Haul. Ever. Because it's all gone. We lose it all. Now, everybody exhale. Okay. I got good news. I had to get us in that deep hole first, though. Because too many people live here. Too many people in the church live here. And I think it's time for that to stop. This whole thing right here. This whole thing. Wrong, 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 wrong. This whole idea is wrong, 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 wrong. It's all wrong. Did I say it was wrong? Whole thing is wrong. This is not who you are. You do not belong to this world. You don't even belong to time. We are the beloved sons and daughters of Father God. Hallelujah. I will stress, but I'm getting blessed. We are the beloved sons and daughters of Father God, and we belong to Him, and we belong to eternity. Have we forgotten this? Have we forgotten this? Wow. Man. I don't want to forget this another day in my life. I don't want to forget this another day in my life. Please, Jesus. Please don't let me forget this. This is all wrong. Help me to remember who I am and whose I am. Wow. Wow, wow. Thank you, Jesus. Thanks for coming through, helping me remember the good news. Now, do you remember the temptation of Jesus in the Bible? At the hands of the devil, nonetheless. In the desert wilderness. It's found in Luke chapter 4. If you want to turn your Bibles there to make sure I'm telling the truth, you can. It's first 13 verses, Luke 4. You know what the devil was tempting the very Son of God to do? To forget his identity. To forget who he was. I think you're going to be amazed if you've never thought about this before. I was amazed when this was brought before my mind. You know what the devil said to Jesus? He said, turn these stones into bread and show you can do something. You can do something good. Wow. The next temptation, he said, Jesus, jump from the pinnacle of the temple and have the angels catch you. Why? So the people will speak well about you. It's number two. And the third temptation, he tried to get Jesus to kneel before him, the devil, and worship the devil. And he said, if you do that, I will give you all the resources, all the possessions of the world. Jesus has already been tempted by the very three temptations that we are tempted by. And the purpose of the temptation is so we will lose our identity. We will forget who we are and whose we are. Oh, jeez. But you know what Jesus said to Satan? It's all wrong, it's all wrong, it's all wrong, it's all wrong. That's basically what he said. Well, I don't like that answer. Well, here's what he said. You're a liar, you're a liar, you're a liar, you're a liar. Devil's been lying from the beginning. Whew. You're a liar. It's wrong. It's still wrong. The greatest of lies the devil still fills our mind with. Here they are right here. I am what I do. I am what others say or think about me. I am what I have. And you know, we as Christians, if we're living according to either of those three, we need to repent of idolatry. That's good preaching. That helped me, Lord. Search my heart, O God, and see if there be anything in me that offends you. Lord, Carrie Willis asking, if I'm living my life by what I do, if I am living my life by what others say or think, if I am living my life by the things I have, forgive me, Lord. It's idolatry. Jesus. The enemy tempting us to forget our identity. He says, prove who you are. Prove who you are by what you do and how people like you and what you have. Lie, lie, lie. Lie, 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 lie. Don't live a lie. Life is too short to live a lie. Please don't live a lie. But you know, Jesus knew who he was. He is the child of God. And he knew whose he was. He was his father's son. He never forgot his identity. When Jesus found himself in temptation, he did not forget who he was or whose he was. Thank you, Jesus, for blazing the trail. Jesus did not forget what the Father said before the temptation. Now, if you have not been baptized and you are a believer, you need to come to your pastor tonight and say, Pastor, when is the next baptismal service? I mean this. Do you know I had a spontaneous baptism service one day in Harrisonburg? I didn't warn anybody. But I preached about being baptized. And you know how many people came to be baptized spontaneously? 196 people were baptized in one day. So I believe in it. I also don't have a problem if you were baptized years ago and you lived a life of sin since then, being baptized again. Now, some people got a problem with that, but I don't have a problem with that. Because you know what baptism is about? It's about our identity. That's what it is. And so I was baptized, you know, like when I was a young middle schooler maybe. And then I don't even know what age I was. I can't even tell you. I was younger than I am now. I was baptized, but there was some sin. I identified with sin between that baptism. And when I got it right with God again, I was a backslider. And I wanted to be baptized again because my identity have been compromised. I'm telling you, friends, to be baptized is to go public. And you know what it says? I know who I am and I know whose I am. So if you haven't been baptized, get over your bad self and get baptized. It is important. And I'm not even a Baptist. I'm a Nazarene. But I believe being baptized matters. I know it's symbolic, but something happens in the water. You can't convince me that something doesn't happen in the water. I'll tell you what, next time you're at a baptismal service, you try not to clap when the person comes out of the water. You had to sit on your hands. Because something happens in the water. You know what it is? Identity is restored. For all the world to know. And when you're baptized, you declare war on hell itself. You said, I belong to heaven. That was a little sidebar, no extra. Jesus knew who he was. He was a child of God. He knew whose he was. He was the Father's son. And he did not forget what the Father said before the temptation when he was baptized. Now, that's the only reason I need to be baptized. Jesus was. That's the only reason. If I had any other reason, Jesus was baptized to fulfill something. And I think he was baptized for identity, to let everybody know he knew who he was and whose he was. I'm a simple theologian. Luke 3:21-23. Here it is. It was at the baptism of Jesus. Listen, verse 21, Luke 3. When all the people were baptized, Jesus too was baptized. And while he was praying, heaven opened. And the Holy Spirit came down to him in the form of a dove. A voice from heaven said, "You are my son. I am pleased with you." Water baptisms go in public about our identity. And in the Church of the Nazarene, we have all modes of baptism. So you can't say that you're scared of water, because we're not just dunkers, you know. Because we know it's important that you get your identity on. We'll dunk you. About 95% of Nazarenes are probably dunked, if you want to know the truth. But we'll pour you. We'll sprinkle you. We'll wash your forehead with a wet washcloth, if that's what you want us to do. I told people in our church, if you'll stand there, I'll spray you with a water hose, if that's what you want me to do. But you ought to be baptized, because you need your identity to go on record who you are and whose you are. Can you tell I'm passionate about this? I think I went to preaching. Baptisms go in public. It says, I'm unashamed to say who I am and whose I am. I've talked to some people in the local church I pastored. They had to be honest with me. The number one reason they wouldn't be baptized is they were ashamed of the gospel. I held them down a little longer when they finally got in line. Just before Jesus was baptized in the Jordan River, to say aloud who and whose he was, John the Baptist prophesied about Pentecost.
Bet you missed that, hadn't you? You think baptism is not important? Well, at the baptism of Jesus, John the Baptist prophesied about Pentecost. Luke 3, verse 16. John replied to all of them, "I baptize you with water, but the one who is more powerful than I is coming." He was literally coming. He was coming into the water. "I am not worthy to untie his sandal straps. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." You know why? Because that's about identity too. Baptism marks us as the beloved sons and daughters of Father God. Outward water baptism and inward baptism with the Holy Spirit, both are about our identity. Both baptisms. And as the people turned on Jesus, he still knew who he was and whose he was. I fear too many today have forgotten who they are and whose they are. How do we know we are Father God's beloved sons and daughters? Two verses from Old Testament scripture. Jeremiah 31 verse 3. "I have loved you with an everlasting love." That's you. Put your name in there. Claim it. "I have loved Carrie Willis with an everlasting love." That makes me beloved. And then Isaiah 49 verse 16. Oh, I love this. I love the scripture. I get all tender every time I think about it, hear it. Isaiah 49, 16. "I have engraved your name on the palms of my hands." When the nails went into the hands of Jesus at crucifixion, you know what that said? We are God's beloved children. The scars are our names. And whenever he looks at the scars in his hands, he remembers us. Father God says, "You are mine and I am yours." This is how you know who you are. You know who you are by knowing whose you are. From 1961 to 2000, whatever. I am a beloved child of Father God. This is my identity. Oh yeah, the good and the bad of this life will still come and go. Nevertheless, I need not forget what God has said. You are my beloved. We must find our identity in claiming our first love. God's love for us is our first love. My daughter got married, Allison, back in 2012. My only daughter. Don't be showing me pictures. She's the most beautiful bride that ever put a wedding gown on. Wow. My, that was a great day. Boy, I loved her.
I still do. Still love to hear her voice. But at the wedding reception, I had told her since she was a little girl that we were going to have a certain song at her wedding. And she was kind of embarrassed. Maybe that shouldn't happen, you know. And so I didn't pull it off, but her mama did. And so we had a friend named Kenny who plays piano and sings while he plays the piano. And when we came into the reception as a family, Kenny was on the baby grand piano, and he was playing that old country song, I Loved You First. That's what I was telling her husband. I said, you might love her now, but I loved her first. I'm her first love. She smiled. She liked it. But you know, our first love is the Father's love. 1 John 4:19, we love because God first loved us. Even if and when others reject us and hurt us, abandon us, our second love, our third love, our fourth love, our fifth love, we know our first love will not reject us, will not hurt us, will not abandon us. Ever. Every other love in our lives compared to the first love God has for us is lacking. It's lacking. Only God's love gives us wholeness in our identity. So let us not fall victim by making a pact with the enemy and his lies about who and whose we are. Let us be his beloved ones, and let's testify to it by being baptized in water and by fire. It has a keeping power when you know who you are and you know whose you are. We're more than survivors, people. We're overcomers. There's a big difference between a survivor and an overcomer. We are overcomers. I love Romans 8:37. Now, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. You know why? Through him who loved us. It's his love that makes us conquerors, overcomers, conquerors. I like Romans 8:16. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Oh, friends, don't settle for religion. Please don't settle for religion. I don't know all the reasons Jesus came to planet Earth, but I know one reason he didn't come was to start a new religion. He came to restore relationships. That's why he came. Christianity makes a bad religion, but it makes a great relationship. If you're merely surviving life tonight, I invite you to come alive in your identity. Maybe we could have a piano play or something like that. Do you remember what I said when I started? God's seal of ownership upon us is his spirit within us. I baptize with water, John the Baptist said, but there comes one. I'm not even worthy to untie his sandals. And he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Lord Jesus, tonight, this has been good news for my own soul. to work back over these lies and these truths. I am not what I do. I am not what others say or think. I am not what I have accumulated. I am a beloved child of Father God. This is who I am, and this is whose I am. And Lord, tonight, I know how faithful you are. I know how faithful you are. And I know tonight that this is a good reminder for us all. But I believe for one or for some tonight, this is actually a lifeline that has been in my hands, thrown out to this congregation. And I pray, Lord, now that you would speak to those who they really need to know that they are loved. And they'll just come because you invite them, not because I do. And I pray, Lord, tonight that whatever age the people listening are, that they will know that I have spoken the truth. And I pray, Father, that we would be unashamed of the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. We're glad, Lord, that you led us into this temptation. You led the way. The devil tried to get you to forget who you were and whose you were. And you just looked at him and said, wrong, wrong, wrong. Lie, lie, lie. And you defeated him so that we could know that Christ in us will still defeat him every time. And so, Lord, as we wait for a moment with just the music playing, some praying already, whoever you would like to invite, Lord, you speak to them. You speak to their minds. You speak to their hearts. You give them the courage to stand and to come and kneel at these altars and to claim their inheritance. Maybe there are some here that feel beat up tonight. They feel kicked around. They don't feel any value whatsoever. Well, tonight they've heard the truth about that. And I said on Sunday, God's not mad at you. He's mad about you. Well, that was part of what I was getting at, was this message. That you have written our names in the palms of your hands. You were crucified so you could say to us once and for all, you are beloved. You are beloved. And Lord, when I took this post, you told me, I got some people in the Philadelphia district that I want to let them know I love them. And tonight has been one of the clearest nights of my ministry here, that you were doing what you said you brought me here to do. You were reaching through me tonight to this precious congregation. And I'm unworthy. But I am who you say I am. I am yours, and you are mine. And I want to share that with every person who will listen. So it doesn't matter tonight what kind of life you've lived. It doesn't matter if you have been lost in rebellion or lost in religion. Tonight you can be found in relationship with Father God, who calls you his beloved son or daughter. And so I issue the invitation on his behalf, that if he has spoken to you tonight, if you have sensed the Spirit, that you would not hesitate, but that you would come now and kneel at the altars. And that's my last plea. But I ask, please don't leave here tonight unless you are sure that you know who you are. and whose you are. Because when you wake up in the morning, it's going to be a new day. It's going to be a new day.